Creating Tomorrow's Schools Today, Education, Our Children, Their Futures, author Richard Gerver. How Our Children Need to Be. We do know something of the future and the changing shape of our lives. Crucially, much is centered on work and working patterns. The world of our children will be even more uncertain than our own. The rapid development of globalization and communication means that the world will become more and more fragmented, depersonalized, and decentralized. So what kind of people will our children need to be? They will need, above all else, huge levels of self-confidence. They will need to be adaptable, utilize their natural creativity, and understand their own strengths and weaknesses. They will need to be increasingly self-aware, emotionally and intellectually, and be capable of building relationships quickly, effectively, and often virtually. There are many who say that a spirit of entrepreneurship will be a vital thing in our young, both for their own success and our economy's future stability. Marketing learning to children. When we hear about dealing with truancy, we hear about fining and prosecuting parents, of holding schools to account by setting truancy targets. Very rarely do we hear about how we are selling the brand, ensuring its relevance, and creating an experience for our children that is powerful and totally compelling. To do that, we must have a far greater respect for our customers, who are the children themselves. We have to seek their opinions and act on their advice. We must make sure that the salespeople, i.e. the teachers, are focused on selling the learning and making it irresistible. The success in failure. If we want to develop a successful education system that truly exposes and develops the potential of every individual and prepares them to lead the challenges of the future, we must work to change the nature of one concept, failure and the notion of risk. Education is not about right and wrong. It's not about studying to take exams. It is much more important than that. It's about relishing challenges, seizing opportunities, and seeing mistakes as significant opportunities for development. Business and education, a relationship in a new light. Education seeks to develop the adult citizens who will improve the world in which we live. Business needs well-educated citizens to ensure businesses and industry thrive in the future. If we are to add value to the skills and competences we are teaching in schools, we must help children see how they can be translated into practice in later life. This needs to happen as soon as children begin their formal education. Our children love pretending to be pilots, hairdressers, soldiers, and sports stars. As young children, they play at it for hours. They are already trying to make sense of the world around them. In partnership, we can harness this play and our children to take it to the next level. A game can become an ambition. An ambition can become tangible, but only if we provide the learning, skills, and contexts in partnership. The knowledge camp or the skills camp. Great learning, a powerful education, is built on the acquisition of information, of experiences, and of skills. Knowledge itself has a fixed and limited definition, that it is simply the acquisition of facts and information. If this is knowledge, then it can be deeply unsatisfying if it doesn't stimulate interest or a resonance and often becomes temporary. On the other hand, if we don't have a level of basic skill like reading, writing, control of number, we will find it hard to develop concepts, ideas, deep learning, and cognition. Skills, knowledge, and cognition. There are three ways in which information is absorbed and understood. 1. Skill-based level. A skill-based behavior represents a type of behavior that requires very little or no conscious control to perform or execute an action once an intention is formed. 2. Rule-based level. A rule-based behavior is characterized by the use of rules and procedures to select a course of action in a familiar work situation. 3. Knowledge-based level. A knowledge-based behavior represents a more advanced level of reasoning. This type of control must be employed when the situation is novel and unexpected. People are required to know the fundamental principles and laws by which the system is governed. Since people need to form explicit goals based on their current analysis of the system, cognitive workload is typically greater than when using skill or rule-based behavior. What is clear is that knowledge is not a fixed entity, and that the acquisition of knowledge relies on a number of skills and intelligences that help process information and experiences, drawing on previous contexts and then questioning to find meaning from those experiences. In truth, one level without the others can be sterile and, to an extent, meaningless. Most traditional schools don't operate at the skills or the knowledge levels at all, but at the rules level. Therefore, the real challenge and debate need to be around the balance and emphasis of where we fall as schools and strategies we need to develop to work through all three stages. Engaging children in decision-making. many schools have set up school councils and explored the development of pupil voice. The danger attached to genuinely developing pupil voice is that pupils will not always come up with things you want to hear. If we allow pupils a voice, we must also act on their opinions. Otherwise, the children will quickly realize that their involvement is no more than superficial. Given the opportunity and the right guidance, children are extremely observant and innovative. Their suggestions are rarely censored by experience in the same ways ours are, and therefore, they're often really creative and exciting. We shouldn't be asking our school councils how we can improve writing in our schools, playground behavior, and attendance in the same way that large companies spend fortunes on market research. We must find ways to increase opportunities for our children to be genuinely independent and self-selective. We must give them room to make decisions, and at times, room to live with the consequences so that they can learn from their mistakes and choices. Building schools of the future. A school of the future is about understanding the learning and management of that learning. It's about creating flexible, almost liquid environments that can change and develop as quickly as the world around them. In other words, we must design the process before we build the tools. And this is a massive cultural shift in educational thinking. More than anything, the critical question is one of ownership. And actually, it doesn't much matter about the space if the children feel that they have a real sense of ownership and empowerment and that they can inhabit that space, rather than feel that they visit it, but that it belongs to the adults. Educating with the community. Schools should be seen as the meeting places of experiences that then become the centers of learning. It is parents who often are the bridge to providing the context for learning. Their experiences and skills are vital if we are to develop an approach fit for the future. Learning is at its best when it is drawn from the communities surrounding the school. The school's job should then be able to help the community and the children make sense of those experiences and to help draw out the learning opportunities. An approach to transformation. Here's a model that has at its core the development of pupils as people, and to that end, it has four key elements. 1. Learning to learn and live. Helping children to understand how best they learn is not just about the development of skills and competencies, it is also about the growing understanding of how personal well-being, environment, and health can affect our readiness and our ability to learn. 2. Developing skills and competence. There is no argument that development of literate and numerate children must lie at the heart of any learning journey. We designed a curriculum that had at its core four standards. 1. Communication had the development of literacy at its heart, but drew on wider communication skills that included the use of ICT, dance, drama, music. 2. Enterprise had the development of numeracy at its core and applied those skills in wider contexts to include problem solving and innovation. 3. Culture had science at its heart and expanded to focus on the traditional cultural aspects of our heritage rooted in history and geography. 4. Well-being was split into three areas of physical, social, and spiritual well-being. 3. Applying learning in contexts. We must wrap learning in contexts that allow children to celebrate newly acquired skills and immediately demonstrate the benefits to them and to their future. We must also ensure that learning is seen as relevant. It builds on their experiences and makes sense. It must be pleasurable, memorable, and important. 4. Developing aspiration and values. The key is to find the connection, the spark that fires that child. The children themselves may not know what it is, but if and when you find it, and the children have the opportunity to demonstrate their skill, potential, and ability in their thing, their confidence can rapidly build, and with it, their engagement and success in mainstream schooling. Who shapes the future? Teaching is an extraordinary profession, a vocation, and above all, a great privilege. However, teachers cannot educate children by themselves. It is not teachers or parents who are the shapers of the future, it is our children. We can provide them with the materials, the skills, and competencies, then it is over to them. Together, we can prepare our children for their future. Together, as parents and educators, we must build a system that will illuminate their world. We must ensure a system that develops in them the skills and experiences to feel confident in their tomorrow. It is up to us not to fear, but to prepare them to lead us into the unknown.